Orlando Cool Poster. The Baugh Brothers All-Star International Circus. Hill Valley Fairgrounds, April 7th through the 10th. Death-defying aerialists, lions, tigers,
and bears twitching.
I wonder if they got any of those glow-in-the-dark necklaces.
Necklaces?
Or maybe those souvenir swords. Hey, mister, where do we get tickets?
You little boobs. The poster's from 1933, and that flea-bitten circus went out of business years ago.
Oh, bummer.
About the Baugh Brothers going out of business?
That, and I stepped in some bubble gum.
I was so stoked to see that circus, and now we can't.
Well, maybe we can. Listen, can you keep a secret?
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. 'Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
It's Saturday night, and I'm here talking cartoons. Back to the Future cartoons, to be specific. Happy Saturday, everybody. It's March 23rd, which means it's the 23rd day of the fourth year of Marchy McFly. And I'm here once again talking about the animated series, an episode from season 2. Episode number 5, Burns' New Friend. But before that, I just want to say it is the last full week of March, right? Well, no, Monday starts. I don't know. However you want to say it. A week from tomorrow is the final episode of Marchy McFly. Well, it's the final episode of Marchy McFly 4. Is it the final episode of Marchy McFly? I'm starting to sense that it is, but is it the episode? Is it the last episode of a month-long March adventure? I don't think so. I'll just put it that way. I'm not going to say anything more because nothing's concrete. Things can change. Things can come up. But I had an idea today that I thought could be fun. Something very different, but also very reminiscent of something else I do. So anyway, that's for another year, or maybe I'll talk about it in another week, but it's not for tonight. Today it's Saturday, and yeah, like a week from Monday is April, okay? And we got snow today in Massachusetts. Not a lot, just a little, but it was this wet, sloppy, crappy sludge that just was enough that made driving a pain in the booty. That's what I call mine. You don't call it a booty. And I just want to get spring here. I remember like last year or other years, when I was doing the movies, talking about the movies, I would do songs. And I record a lot of these songs outside, and it was nice out. It's not nice out. It's crappy out. And it makes me sad. But you know what makes me happy? talking Back to the Future, so I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's get ready to talk about this next episode in Back to the Future, the animated series. This is a series all about how the Browns and Marty went back in time. I'm not doing that. This episode is Vern's new friend. As I said, it's the fifth episode of the second season. It is the 18th overall episode, and it originally aired October 24th, 1992. I'm not going to do that again. What was I doing? I was doing the same thing that I was doing in the last episode. Being a junior in high school. No, wait a minute. Junior? Yeah, I'm a junior in high school in 92. Oh, my goodness. So I'm a junior in high school in 92, senior high school in 93. Yeah, a year from now, I'm already dating my wife. It's crazy. It's crazy how, oh, my God, I was so young and hot then. But now I'm not young anymore. Let's put it that way. Boom. So this episode was once again written by Mary Jo Luden. I don't feel like it has the same magic as the last episode. Now, that Marty PFC, it wasn't great. There was stuff that I, you know, kind of like took apart. But I really enjoyed how the woman at the beginning ended up being the girl that Vern went back in time with. Have you noticed that Jules does next to nothing, especially this season? It seems to always be Vern. This episode is all about Vern. I'm not even sure we see Jules at all. This episode was once again directed by John Hayes, and of course it opens with Doc. Now, I've been saying, oh, it seems like this year they've cut back on a budget and just given Doc a Bob Gale and Christopher Lloyd a green screen, but no, once again we're back in the Brown laboratory, or his work area. We don't see a lot of it, but no, we do see it at the end too. Doc is behind this giant chemistry set, and he's talking about, they stretch sometimes. He's talking about water, H2O, but then he's also talking about H2O, blah, 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 whatever that is that becomes, was it sulfuric acid? It's clear and it's odorless. It looks like water, but it is poison. And so he's basically scaring kids that every time you see water, kids, it might be poison. So if you drink it, just hope that you don't, you know, burn your esophagus and die a tragic death. It teaches you that things aren't always as they appear. And Vern learned that way back when he was playing baseball or some shit like that. As we jump back to, it starts in, you know, quote unquote, current times, 1992. And we see a baseball field. Now this baseball field is in Hill Valley, and it is right in front of the clock tower. So it's 1992. They did it, right? They saved the clock tower. I guess we found out in 2015, the clock tower, well, wait a minute, the clock tower was a whole different building in 2015. So in 1992, the clock tower was still there. I like to think that means the lady that was, you know, don't forget to take a flyer, she figured out that you can save the clock tower, and they did. It's just so happens that now, the park or the that was there that Marty and Jennifer were walking through, and that Red the Bum was sleeping in, and that you know, Doc was doing his weather experiments back in the 50s. Now there's a baseball field there. And I'm recording, right? Wouldn't that be a shame if I wasn't? So anyway, there's a baseball field there, and Vern is playing with all of Vern's friends that we've never seen and probably will never see again. So they're playing baseball, and all of a sudden these two girls show up and it's like, hey, Vern, can I play? And he goes, get the F out of here, you stinking girls, pretty much. He's like, he doesn't want girls to play baseball with him. So those girls are like, oh, yeah. And they go and turn the, they're like, the boys are like, why don't you go do your hair or play with your clarinet or put on a dress or some, you know, just being really chauvinistic. And the girl's like, oh, yeah, I'll show you. And they turn the water faucets on because they have access to the public works. And water goes everywhere and soaks the boys. And they're like, oh, no, we're all wet. 2 seconds later, they're still playing baseball, even though they're wet, because I guess it didn't mean a thing at all. It didn't matter to them. So now there's this, some kids up at bat with an amazing giant buck tooth. He hits a ball so hard that Vern has to do the classic Bugs Bunny thing where he has to run across the street, run up a building, go to the window to catch the ball. He misjudges it. It bounces off, hits off this awning, and this kid catches it out in the street. The kid throws it into the field of play, and he throws it so hard that he knocks the kid over. And Vern's like, ooh, you're really good. Well, actually, before he does that, he pulls the back of his coonskin hat, the tail, a propeller pops out, and he flies down because, of course, he flies down to this kid. He's like, hey, do you want to play? He's like, yeah, my name's Chris. I'll play with you. So he goes up. Chris goes up to bat and wallops a hit so hard. Vern's like, this is great. I'm so glad you're on my team. I like hanging out with you. Then they go to the comic book store and they get the first edition comic of Mega Cindy, Slimy Worm of Doom, or I guess fights the slimy worm of doom. And we get a quote unquote comic book guy type, like a real nerdy, goofy, weird adult in a costume. He's like, don't touch that. You got to buy that if you're going to read it. It's a first edition. So, you know, he ends up selling him this thing for whatever money they had. He didn't have a price for it. They're like, we want a bag. He goes, I don't have a bag. Here, take this poster. So he gives him this like poster to wrap it in, and it has the Bob Brothers All-Star International Circus, April 7th to the 10th. Like, wow, that looks like fun. We should go to that circus. Hey, mister, do you know when the circus is in town? How much it costs? He's like, you stinking idiots. That poster's from 1933. The circus is long gone. So Chris and he go walking around, and they're like, and Chris is like, man, I really wish I could go to that circus. And Vern's like, you actually can. Do you want to know a secret? So we jump over, and Marty is doing a crossword while Doc is working on the DeLorean. Literally, they're like, oh, he goes, Marty, can you go in? I need something to fix the carburetor. All I need is a bobby pin. Do you have the bobby pin? I think there's one in the back seat of the car. So Marty gets in the car. Meanwhile, Vern comes while Doc is underneath the car. Vern comes with Chris. He's like, you promise not to tell a secret? Not to tell the secret? Come on. They get in the car and they drive off. And Chris is the first person with common sense. He says, Chris is the first person with common sense. Chris says, you can drive? He's like, yeah. Vern's like, yeah, I've been driving all the time. Doc seems to still be working on the car. Even when the car's gone, he's just like standing there or lying there doing stuff. Vern punches into the, when they're driving away, Vern's like, I do this all the time. Then a hand touches him. He goes, I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't mean to steal your car. It's Marty. Marty's in the car because he went in to get the bobby pin. So now he is with them, and he is going on where he's going on whatever adventure they're going on. And it turns out they're going back to 1933. Vern actually punched into the time circuits a specific date. Once again, April 7th, 1933, so they can go back and see this circus. I do like, I mean, it's very, they use the time machine for a lot of frivolous things, but I do like the thing that the thought that you will never miss anything. You're just not going to miss it. You miss it? Oh, use the time machine. You can go see it. So they travel back, and Chris is like, what? Are you serious? We're back? We're in 1933? No way. Where are we? Really? And Marty's like, I told you. It's 1933. I don't know. This is just a terrible impression. But I wonder if we could find the circus. I think we found it because an elephant, of course, the circus is right there in the middle of whatever farmland they're in. An elephant picks the circus, picks the DeLorean right up, We cut to commercial and we get a Back to the Facts that we don't get all the time. It says, Back to the Facts, an elephant's trunk can hold 1.5 gallons of water. In other words, it would take exactly 30 elephants to wash the average car. I guess that's how much. Wait a minute. 30 elephants. So it's 45 gallons to wash a car. I think I did that math and I think I did it correctly. Oh, I'm, yeah. Good for me. So the elephant still has the DeLorean up. And then the elephant tamer comes over and it's slightly problematic. It's a dude in a big turban with a whip. And he's like, hey, let the DeLorean down. They drop the DeLorean. And then this guy's like, step right up, come in into the Bob Brothers Circus. And the boys and all go in and they're the only ones there. So they find out that the reason probably the circus closed is because it kind of sucked. There's a terrible band, but the best part of this whole episode, the best part of the circus is the Bob Brothers. It's the two brothers and they both talk like this to each other. And they even talk like this to each other. And one's Robert and the other one's Bob. And I think they're both Bob Robert. And they're the funniest part of the whole thing because they talk this way, the whole picture. So we see a lion tamer, but the lion's sleeping. We see a tightrope walker, but he's afraid. He's off 2 feet off the ground. And he's afraid. The kids are falling asleep almost. Marty and Chris and Vern. And then we see a clown car and only one clown gets out of it. Like it is really lame. And it turns out they're human cannonball left. So they're like, we can't do it unless we have anyone else here who would volunteer. And at that moment, a vendor goes by and goes like, popcorn, or you want some popcorn? And Marty goes, hey, over here. And the Bob Brothers go, thank you for volunteering. So they grab him, put a helmet on him, stick him in the human cannonball. Marty does not want to do this. So they're the only ones there. Who are they doing this for? And why did Marty just go, oh, no, I was talking to the vendor. Oh, never mind. Even though we go with cartoon logic, he gets shoved into the cannonball. He gets fired without his will or consent, goes through the tent, smashes the DeLorean, and breaks the DeLorean. So now they have to stay a little longer. And Marty goes, the only way that we could fix this is if I fix the carburetor. I need a bobby pin. And Chris goes, I have a bobby pin. And Vern's like, you do? I don't know if you see where this is going yet. And he's like, oh, yeah, I keep one just in case. And now they open the DeLorean, and now five clowns get out of the DeLorean. So what were they doing in there? What were they doing to each other in there? How did they get in there? And why wouldn't they get in their own car? It didn't make any sense. It was just a joke for a joke's sake. Vern and Chris, the kids, not the boys. I think you kind of get where I'm going with this. They go over to a hole in the tent, and they see the Bob Brothers talking to Mac Tannen. Yes, another Tannen. This is in the 30s. So we've seen a Tannen in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, and they're all around the same age. So I start to think that the Tannens are just a bunch of inbreds, and they are like Hill Valley is riddled with them. They're everywhere. But they never seem to run into each other. There's always one Tannen at a time, unless you count Biff and Biff's son. So he's telling them, hey, I'm doubling your, if you're going to keep your circus on my land, I'm doubling your rent. And they don't have any money, but, the kids go to eavesdrop on them. While this is happening, they get knocked off the high wire trapeze. They fall, hit a trampoline, hit Mac Tannen, who gets smashed, and they end up causing a lot of damage. And Tannen's like, you know what? You now owe me all this money for the damage that you cause. And you owe me all. Oh, they damaged the circus. And now the circus owes Tannen the money. So the boys now have to work off to pay back the Tannen. This is where the logic gets weird. The boys caused all this. I'm sorry. The kids caused all this mayhem that now they need to work off to repair, to pay back Tannen. How does this work? Because, okay, the kids are working off what they owe for the repairs. Who's paying for the repairs? The kids don't have the money. What are they? They wash an elephant and that fixes the tent? That doesn't work. So it's a highly illogical concept. It's like if they worked for Tannen, maybe he would say, okay, I'll take money off. But how does Tannen get his money? If just by these kids working at the circus, guess what? He doesn't. So Marty's working on the car and he talks to this dude with a big beard. It turns out it's a bearded woman who, beats him up and throws him in a trough. Marty gets his ass kicked in this episode. Meanwhile, the kids are like, what do we really got to do to make some money? I know. Here's what we do. They go into town riding an elephant and they give out free tickets to everybody. When we cut back to the circus, it turns out that the trapeze girls are going to work for the telephone company. So they left the circus and now there's nobody there. And they're like, it doesn't matter. No one ever comes anyway. Now a huge crowd comes and the kids come up, Chris and Vern, and they're like, we gave away free tickets. They're like, what? How does that help us? He goes, now you can make a lot of money selling all your, food and candy. Like, oh, great. But then they start crying because they realize that they don't have a trapeze act. And Vern and Chris are like, Vern's like, we can do it. We can do anything any stupid girls can do. Chris is like, what? And we get to, I think you know where this is going. Goes to commercial, back to the facts. It says, other than humans, the pig is the only mammal capable of getting a sunburn. And my first thought is, yes, that may be true. But at least with the pig, the sunburn, it smells so good. It smells like a nice sandwich. So we cut back and I guess there are these jetpacks that Doc has in the car. They're not perfect, but they work enough. And the kids are going to wear them to help them do the trapeze act. And Vern's like, let's take our hats off. We look better this way. Chris, take your hat off. He goes, no. Or Chris says, no, it's my good luck charm. You see where this is going? You get it? So the trapeze crap happens. They bounce around. They do okay until they don't do okay. And then at that point, Chris's hat falls off. And Vern's like, oh my God, Chris, you're a girl. I mean, he could just be Chris with long hair, but you're a girl. They end up doing this great trapeze act anyway. Chris saves Vern. Everyone's happy. The crowd's happy. They make all the money. They pay back Tannen, but Vern is pissed. He's pissed off at this. And he doesn't like lying. He doesn't like the fact that she's a girl because girls have cooties. And Marty's like, hey, what are you talking about? Some of my best friends are girls. He goes, yeah, but that's different. He goes, no, it's not. You better get your head out of your ass. He didn't say that, but they head back to the 1992. Chris gets in the car. He's like, I'm sorry that that you feel this way. I feel bad. I hope we could still be. I didn't mean to lie to you. And Vern's like, why don't you cry about it? Even though Vern's the one crying like a little baby. So we cut back to 1992. And apparently Vern never made up with Chris because now he's back playing baseball with his friends again. A guy hits a ball really hard. Vern misjudges it again. Apparently he's not very good at baseball. Smashes into a tree. Chris shows up and he's like, she is like, hi. And Vern's like, thanks. Do you want to play? You can borrow my glove. And they're friends again. Now they're actually friends. Vern is actually friends with a girl. Ain't that crazy? So now Doc is talking about how, what the hell is he talking about? Air. Oh, he's making a water balloon and talking about air pressure and how you can use air pressure to, I don't know how this has to do with trapeze, but he makes a convoluted connection. And he goes, let's go to Video Encyclopedia P for pressure. And then friggin' Bill Nye makes a portable hoverboard, not a hovercraft, which, okay, I thought this was pretty good. You put a nail through a mayonnaise lid, like a tin metal lid to a jar lid. But you have someone else help you because you're going to be hammering a nail a hole in. Then you make one into a bottle cap, a metal bottle cap, which you don't see a lot of those anymore. You glue the bottle cap to the jar lid. Okay. So now they both have holes in them, right? Then you fill up a balloon and you put it over the bottle cap. The bottle cap pushes air through the bottle, through the jar lid, which lifts it, makes a little cushion, and it glides around like a hoverboard. Okay. I thought this one looked kind of fun. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I thought it looked pretty good until the balloon, the air comes out of the balloon. Then you just fill the balloon again. And it shows you if you have a bigger equipment, you could actually make a bigger hoverboard. And it shows with this giant air blower, I don't know if it's a leaf blower or something, they actually built a hoverboard, and Bill Nye, the science guy, was pushed around outside on the board. So Doc is getting ready to, he's filling balloons with water because he's going to have a huge water balloon fight with Vern and Chris. But then he gets a call from Clara, who wants him to do all his chores. And he goes, women's spouses always making you do these things. Like he makes this big, like, you know, how to do about how, you know, these women make you do the chores, or wives, or I don't know if it's women or spouses. I don't know. It seemed a little old fashioned. And he's like, oh, you'll find out soon enough. Then he trips. The balloons go flying, and that's the end of the episode. It wasn't good. It wasn't the worst thing. It was interesting to see like how Vern was afraid of, I guess, being with a girl, being friends with a girl. I liked Vern going into the building. That was very Bugs Bunny. The time travel aspect didn't serve any purpose except they wanted to see something that was old. Like, it wasn't to save anything. It wasn't to change anything. Nothing happened. Nothing changed there, you know, when they came back. So it was very much just they went someplace and they time traveled to get to that place. Nothing that happened then could have needed to be in 1933, really, I guess. That's what I'm saying. So that alone takes some points off. We'll have to see where this ranks when I finally finish every episode. But I think that's it. I think I'm done. Look, we're going to be doing this again tomorrow. In fact, we're going to be pretty much doing the animated series through the end of the season, through the end of the year, through the end of the month, all that fun stuff. And I'm going to be doubling up a couple of weeks just so I can make everything fit and do everything that I want to do for the final, you know, couple days. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, I think I've locked in with Eric. I'm hoping to schedule with Jay soon. And yeah, that's it. Marchy McFly is McFlying by. I was going to say it's marching on, but it's McFlying by. I like that better. So guess what? You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans Not Experts, and the website is fansnotexperts.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for following, subscribing, doing whatever you're doing. Thank you so much. The fact that if you hear my voice, even if you listen for 10 seconds, I appreciate you taking the time to click on anything I'm doing and giving it a try. I really appreciate it. I hope to see you tomorrow. But until then, my friends, here is my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Because I'm kind of funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kind of handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.